Good morning, everyone. My name is Jimmy Brenton. For those of you who don't know me, I'm not the normal pastor here, so don't let me scare you away. Take Dennis's challenge seriously and come back for 3 weeks and see what Calvary's really about. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us to assemble together in your name. I ask that you just infill us with the Holy Spirit today. Give me the words that you'd have me speak. Open our hearts to hear your message. Let us take these words today and bring them with us out of this house to share with others. Let us be your servants. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So how many of you guys like golf? Only two, three, four. We got a little half. How many hate golf? Okay, we got a few. Those of you that hate golf, I need you to still pay attention today. My delivery is going to be a little unorthodox today than what you're used to, but I think the message is going to come together at the end and you're still going to understand what I was trying to bring today. I prayed about this a lot, and a buddy of mine down in Louisiana, he's a police officer, he's also a pastor down there, and he said one day this guy came in their church and he had on his tool belt, had like a bunch of different tools on it. The guy had a cross shaved in the back of his head and came walking down the middle of the aisle. And he was like, man, what is this weird guy going to do today? And he said, but I went ahead and listened to him. And he took every one of those tools and applied it to God's word. And he said, it was a really interesting sermon. So I'm going to ask you to give me that same benefit of the doubt today. But this is a new driver I bought the other day. It's a Nike. It's a Mach Speed Black is what it's called. And it's got a Fubuki graphite shaft. Some of you don't care, huh? The loft on the face is 9.5 degrees, which is what tells the ball how high to go up in the air. With a driver, I want to go really, really long. I'm not worried about going real high. I've got a 60-degree wedge that doesn't go very long, but it goes up and comes down and stays where it was. But with this driver, I want to hit down that fairway, and I want the ball to roll forever. I want it to go 400, 500 yards. I never get near that, but that's what I want it to do. So that's what that loft has to do with that. The entire club is 45 3/4 inches long, and the size of the head is 460 cubic centimeters. That's the volume inside there. And the total weight of the club is 203.5 grams. Woohoo! It's nice and light. I can swing it really, really good. I just can't hit the ball very good, but I can swing this club really fast. If the ball wasn't on the end, you'd think I was really good. But once you see the ball go, you know, wow, that guy, I don't know what he bought that club for. Why am I talking to you about this? You know, I was really excited when I bought this. My wife was frowning at me. She always frowns at me every time I go to the golf place because I come out with something new. But why am I telling you about this? Because I think we need to have the same excitement. We need to be prepared to tell people about God. You know, I bought this club and I told all my golf buddies about it. Hey, I got me a new club. Let's go out to the range. I got a new driver. Let's go test it out. It's really, really cool. Here, you want to try it out? I like it. It's fun. Here, try it out. It's fun to hit. We need to have that excitement about telling people about God. If I asked for a show of hands, and I'm not going to, if I said, hey, is God great? Is God awesome? Is heaven wonderful? Everybody in here would agree, yes. God is much more awesome than this driver that I bought. This is nothing compared to God. Heaven is much more wonderful, is a much better place, is going to be a much better time for us than my best 18 rounds of golf. But are we excited enough to tell others about God? Now, I could pick a billion different things. The thing in my Bible study class I usually say is if I bought a 21-foot Triton with a 225 Optimax on it, that's a fishing boat for those of you who don't know, I would have brought a picture in for you today and I would have showed it to you and said, look at the new boat I got. As soon as we get out of church today, I'm going to go jump in it and go ride around the lake at 70 miles an hour. We need that excitement about God. We are supposed to be sharing God's word with others. We're supposed to be introducing others to God. And when we get these new things, we're excited. And, you know, my son got him, his birthday was last week, and he got some new Beyblades. Boy, he was excited. Come on, Daddy, let's have some Beyblade battles. So we got down on the floor and played Beyblade. I can't even say it. He was excited about those new things. If we've lost our excitement about telling others about God, we need to get it back. We really, really need to get it back. In the Bible, the disciples and Jesus talked about the end times coming soon. And I think we've kind of decided, well, you know, I got plenty of time. That not soon, what's soon? That was 2,000 years ago. But soon could be tomorrow. Soon might be 20 years from now. Soon might be 100 years from now. Soon might be 1,000 years from now. We don't know, but I do know that we have a finite time upon this earth to share God's word with others. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. I'm only 46 years old, so I should live about 30 or 40 more years, but I don't know that. People younger than me drop dead. We get killed in accidents. Someone murders us. Anything can happen. I need to be sharing God now. When the kids were up here, I was almost tempted to change my sermon this morning. But I'll just give a plug to, we need to be teaching our kids. And our grandkids. And our nieces and our nephews and other people that we have influence over. We need to be teaching them about God. Remember when prayer was first taken out of school and we all got in an uproar about that? My pastor down in Louisiana said, you know what, it's sad that they're going to take prayer out of school, but it's not the school's responsibility to teach our kids about prayer. It's our responsibility. And to be honest with you, I really don't want people that I don't know teaching my kids about prayer because I don't know what they're going to teach them. I work with a girl who's Muslim, and I just know that because she said she is in Ramadan right now. But she says, God, I am doing this for my God. I'm doing this for my God. And when I hear God, I'm thinking of Yahweh, the God of the Jews. But that's not the same God she's talking about. So if she was teaching my kids, she would be teaching them about her God, and I would be teaching them about mine. So it is our responsibility, and the kids are very, very receptive to that. Can you talk about God? Can you tell others about God? In the Bible it says, therefore, whoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man shall also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I want to share with you what Albert Barnes wrote about that, because I really, really like the way he simplified it, the way he explains what that means. Because when you first read it, you're like, okay, what does that really mean for me? I don't like that Jesus is going to be ashamed of me, but what does that really mean? And Barnes wrote, the meaning of this verse is, whosoever shall refuse through pride or wickedness to acknowledge and serve Christ here shall be excluded from his kingdom hereafter. He was lowly, meek, and despised, yet there was an inimitable beauty in his character even then. But he will come again in awful grandeur, not as the babe of Bethlehem, not as the man of Nazareth, but the Son of God in majesty and glory. That they would not acknowledge him here must be rejected by him there. They that would not serve him on earth will not enjoy his favor in heaven. They that would cast him out and despise him must be cast out by him and consigned to eternal hopeless sorrow. Sometimes we don't want to share about God, and I've been guilty of this before in my life because we're afraid that person's going to say something. I had this with my brother one night. And was driving down the road, and I kept feeling the Holy Spirit say, talk to him about salvation. Talk to him about salvation. No, this is my brother. He might make fun of me. He might say something to me, blah, blah, blah. Fortunately, I had another chance later on to share with him. But sometimes we're afraid for whatever reason. I'm telling you, though, don't be afraid. And there are consequences for being afraid, but don't be. I don't mind sitting up here and telling you about this driver. And some of you raised your hand and said you hated golf, and I'm still sitting up here telling you about it. So take that same thing with you as you talk about God. Some people don't want to hear about God. I don't care. I don't care if you didn't want to hear about this driver. It was part of my sermon, so you're going to hear about it. Okay? And you're not going to get a use out of this, but God is something great that I think you should have. Next point I want to make is, can you tell others what God has done for you? What has this driver done for me? I hit the ball. I'm not a very good golfer. I hit the ball about 200, 210 yards with my other driver. And I bought this one, and I'm up around 230, 250 now. So it doesn't seem like much, but on the golf course, that's kind of a lot. So it's helped me with that. It's also helped me with some control. And yesterday I was joking with my buddy when I played, because the head on this is adjustable. It comes with a torque wrench. You can take this head off and make this spin more to the left, spin more to the right, go up higher, or just be flat. And I kept slicing it off to the right. And I said, I wonder if Renee took the head off of this thing and just spun it around and stuck it back on there and tightened it back on. Because I'm slicing like crazy today. And my buddy was like, well, she wouldn't know how to set it up for that. I said, I think she just spun it around and whatever it came out to, that was fine, you know. And it just happened to be a really, really bad slice today. I can tell you what this club has done for me. And if I was trying to get you to buy it, I'd better be able to tell you what it can do. If I want to tell you about God, I need to be able to tell you what He's done for me. Okay, you're telling me about this awesome God. What's He done for you, Jimmy? I just knew I was supposed to tell you He's awesome. I didn't know I was supposed to tell you anything about Him. You need to be prepared to give a testimony. It doesn't have to be some huge, long, 30-minute ordeal, but you need to be prepared to tell people what God has done for you. When I was a young child, about 8 years old, I was saved. I was sitting in the back row of my church, Kingsville Baptist Church in Pineville, Louisiana. And I don't know why, but that day I felt I needed to be saved. And I walked down the aisle and accepted God. I'd been brought up in the church pretty much. I didn't have some spectacular thing that led up to that event, and that's fine. That's fine. But what has God done for me? Well, as a teenager, I started drinking. And then when I was 17 years old, I joined the Marine Corps. And guess what? I don't know if I knew any Christians in the Marine Corps. But I knew lots of people who drank. So guess what I did? Got drunk all the time. At the end, I lived with this guy who was an alcoholic. We drank a 12-pack every night, 2 cases a day on the weekend. And that's what we did. When I got out of the Marine Corps, and I drug my wife down to Louisiana, and she said, we need to get into church. And I was like, okay, we can do that. So we started going to my old church, Kingsville. And I decided, well, you know, I'm just going to play church. And I'm going to keep drinking on the weekend, and not just drinking, getting drunk. I didn't drink because it tasted good or because it was fun. I drank to get drunk, and that was it. So I felt God tell me, hey, you're saying you belong to me, but you're not living that way. So straighten up. I was like, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I kept feeling Him telling me that, hey, straighten up. And I was a police officer after I got out of the Marine Corps. I was working narcotics. And one morning my captain called me up. It was Sunday morning. I was actually getting up to go to church. And the captain said, hey, they've got this guy they arrested out here at one of the substations. I want you to go out there and make sure they do a good investigation. All right. So I went out there, and this kid had been arrested, and the uniform guys kind of dumped him off on narcotics because he had some drugs, and that was, they could go home and not do all this paperwork, and narcotics guys could do the paperwork. And the guy, they'd found a map in his truck, and it showed some marijuana plants and where they'd been growing. And he actually showed them where they were, but it was 5 o'clock in the morning. It was dark. The woods were very thick. They didn't know the woods, so they couldn't bring us back out there. So the guy said, yeah, I want to work with y'all. My uncle's growing these plants. Show me where they are. And so we went out there. Long story short, he ended up running away, ambushed and shot me 4 times. And I wasn't really hurt seriously. And the kid was later killed by some other officers. He wouldn't surrender, and he got ready to shoot another one. But the part of that story afterwards that I knew beyond a shadow of doubt in my mind was God was saying, either straighten up or I'm taking you out of here. And after that, I decided to rededicate my life to Christ. I have no doubt that I was saved before that, but I was backslidden about as far as you can go. So what does God do for me? He cared enough for me to smack me upside the head and get me back on the right path. And I can give you a lot of stories where God has stepped in our lives financially, with wisdom, with knowledge, with strength. Time and time again, I can tell you what God has done for me. You need to be prepared to give a testimony. Because if the guy was trying to sell me that driver and you can't tell me anything good about it, why should I buy it? Why do I want to listen to you tell me about your God when you can't even tell me anything good that he's done for you? We need to be prepared to give an account. And like I said, it doesn't have to be as drastic as what I just said. I've talked to people before who were pastor's kids and they were saved, and they don't have any of these horrible stories like some people have. Good. I'm glad you didn't have to go through all that horrible things. I'm glad you never had an addiction problem. I'm glad that you've lived for Christ all your life. That's a story right there. That's much better than mine. Much better. Be prepared to give an account. I really am not trying to sell this driver to you, okay? This is just part of my sermon. But if you want one of these, you can go to Bobick's. There's two locations, one at 403 East Coliseum. That's right there at Coliseum and Coldwater. And there's another one at 5200 Bluffton Road. I know my wife hates where I work now. I work for Star Financial, and our service center is at 5300 Bluffton Road. Matter of fact, I got a driving range there. Those guys, I walk in, hey, Jimmy, how's it going? They know me there. I go there a lot in practice. So if you want one of these, that's where you can go to get it. I'm sure there's a bunch of other places you can get it, too. Be careful on the Internet, because these are things are like last year's model, so do not pay full price for it. But I said that to say this. Can you tell people where to find God? If somebody came up to you and said, how can I know this God that you're talking about? Are you prepared to do that? You need to be. All of us are commissioned to tell others about God. Plus, if he's so great, man, this driver really is good, Jack. I'm telling you, man, if you got it, you'd add like 30 yards to your drive. If God's so good, if he's so awesome, if he's so great, if I need him so badly like you're telling me, can you tell me where to find him? I'm going to give you one way of a million. There are tracks in the back also. You don't need to be a Bible scholar. When they said, oh, Jimmy, we're going to ask pastor questions from the kids, I was up there shaking. I'm like, oh, man, kids ask tough questions. I don't want to have any part of that. Give me one of those easy ones that you ask the other people. I don't want one of the hard ones. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to have some master's degree from seminary to tell people about God. What kind of degrees did the disciples have? I don't think they had colleges back then. Now, some of them were very learned, very well educated, but some of them, they just been working all their lives. I had a pastor tell me one time, I was asking about seminary stuff, because I haven't been to seminary, and I'm not an ordained pastor. I'm an ordained deacon. And he said, well, you gotta do this, and that, and before you can become a pastor, you gotta, you know, have this type of paper and degree and all this. And I was like, well, the disciples didn't have a degree. They didn't go to such and such seminary. Well, yeah, but Jesus was their teacher. Well, that's who my teacher is. And he was like, okay. We get caught up sometimes and forget. We get caught up in education or titles or all these other things. Jesus is my teacher too. Jesus is your teacher too. And he is the one that's going to strengthen you, empower you, give you the knowledge and wisdom you need to share with others. But you need to be prepared. If you sit here and say, oh no, I can never do that, then when I come ask you, how do I find this God? You're going to go, oh yeah, I already told us I can't do that. I don't know, Jimmy. Go ask Pastor Mike. Well, no, I asked you. I don't want to go talk to Pastor Mike. I have a relationship with you that I trusted you enough to come ask you. I don't know Brother Mike. I'm scared to go talk to him. He's pastor of a church. He's way up there with God, so I'm scared to go talk to him. But I trusted you. So I guess I'm not going to ask anybody else. It must not have been that important to you because you weren't prepared to tell me where I could go meet God, where I could find God. If you've got a pen, a little piece of paper, or if you would like to write in your Bible, I wrote in mine. There are a bunch of different Roman roads. I'm going to give you one. If you want to look them up, you can find a million that may or may not suit you. But Romans Road, where are we going to start? Romans. Okay. Sometimes I'm like, okay, where do I start? Oh, yeah, Romans, Jimmy. It's Romans Road. But on the top, Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. On the top of my page, top right-hand side, I have 116 written down. And if I go down to 116, I've got it underlined. And it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's the first verse that I can share with someone. And then I'm going to explain it a little bit. I don't know everything about this. I can't break down all the Greek stuff. If we're going to do that, we're going to get Barry up here to explain all the Greek parts of it. But I can tell you that it says this salvation is for everyone. It's not just for male whites. It's not just for rich people. It's not for people who are carpenters. It's not for people who are fishermen. It's for everyone. And believe it or not, that's a stumbling block for some people. I'm not good enough to be saved. I'm too poor. I've done this in my life. I've done these types of bad things. I've not done good enough. Doesn't say anything about that. It says it's for everyone. And at the bottom of that page, so I know where to go next, I've got 3:23 written. So I know now that I'm going to turn. And to make it easy on me, because I'm from Louisiana, so I'm kind of slow. But on the top right-hand part of that page says 3:23. And then I've got it. I actually had it highlighted before I put Romans Road in here, so I didn't underline it. But it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. People are going to ask you, why do I need God? I'm a good person. You know, most people you talk to, if you ask them, they're good people. Because they're going to pick somebody who's worse than them and compare themselves to them. And say, well, I'm pretty good because I'm comparing myself to Jeffrey Dahmer. He killed all those people and ate them. So I'm a pretty good guy. And that's what we do. That's human nature. I'm not going to pick Billy Graham and compare myself to him. I'm not so good anymore. I'm not going to compare myself to Jesus and how he lived his life on earth. Because now I'm really sinking down low. Bible tells us all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't care how good you are. You have sin in your life. I have sin in my life. We all do. Bottom of that page, I have 6:23 written. For the wages of sin is death. I just got through telling you that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now I'm going to tell you what the wages of that sin are. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we die, that's not the end. We're going to go to heaven or hell. I just had this conversation with somebody this weekend. They told me, well, I know I'm not going to hell. Then you're going to heaven. There's only two places. There's no purgatory. There's no reincarnation as a mouse or a dog or an eagle, depending on how good you were. Maybe you get to come back as a human. Maybe you did good enough where you come back as a person with a little bit better life. Sorry, heaven or hell. But it's a free gift. I think that hurts us sometimes. Dennis, here's $1 million. I've done this, Dennis, a million times in class. If you tell me, Jimmy, here's $1 million, I'm going to say, okay, what's the scam? But I got to give you $990,000 back out of my account to get this $1 million from you. Now that I'm working for a bank, we see this all the time. Some guy come in the other day with a $450,000 check. Some guy gave it to him, but he wants him to give him $450,000 right back so he can buy a house with it. Well, just go deposit in your own bank and buy your own house. You know, it's a scam. So we think, wow, you tell me that I'm going to get to go to heaven. It's just such a wonderful place. What I got to do for it? You've got to accept it. It's a free gift. It says so right here. There's no scam. There's no hidden contract language. Nothing like that. It's a free gift from God. Of course, today we don't want to accept that. Free gift, it can't be free. Something's got to be wrong. No, it is a free gift. Bottom of that page, I have 10:9 written down. Now I'm going to explain to that person what they need to do. I explain to them the circumstance. I explain to them who can be saved. Now I'm going to tell them what they need to do. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus our Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And guess what? I was commissioned to tell you that. What you do with it is up to you. I'm not going to be graded by God when I die on whether or not you accepted what I just told you. I will be graded on whether or not I told you. But it's up to you to accept it or decline it. If I could make you accept it, I would do it. If I had to hit you in the shin with that golf club with a full swing for you to get saved and go to heaven, you'd have a broken shin right now because I'd hit you with it. But I can't make you do it. It's 100% up to you. But I do have to tell you. And that was pretty simple. We don't like talking in front of people. I just told about 60 people how they can get saved. It was pretty easy. All I had to do was follow some numbers I had in my Bible and tell you a little bit about the verse. And I'm sure all of us in here could say the little bit that I said. And if you ask me something that's too hard, I'm going to tell you, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to go talk to some people. I'm going to go research and find out and get back with you. I don't know everything that's in here. I already told you when you said the kids are going to ask you a question, Jimmy. I was over here like, oh, no, please don't. Kids have tough questions. So I was excited and told you about my driver. I told you what it does for me. And I told you where you could get it. My challenge is that you do the same thing with God. Be excited that he's your Savior. Be excited that you're going to heaven. Because the things that are happening here on earth, they don't excite me. I'm not going, oh boy, here comes a big nasty hurricane. My next door neighbor's not going, oh boy, because her husband got deployed to Pennsylvania yesterday. They just got married. And she's like, Jimmy, guess what happened? I was like, what? She goes, Harley just got deployed. And I was like, oh, no. I'm thinking, Afghanistan, Iraq, something like that. And he's already been there. And I'm like, he's going back? He just got back. She's like, he's going to Pennsylvania to help with the hurricane. I was like, oh, thank you that he's not being deployed into combat right now. So there's not a bunch of great things going on earth that I'm excited about. But I am excited about my eternal resting place. I'm not trying to get there any quicker. But I need to be excited. And I need to share that with you so you can go there also. I think that driver's great. I'll tell you about it whether you like golf or not, Hattie. So I sure should be excited enough to tell you about God. I should be able to tell you what he's done in my life, and I can. If you want to hear testimonies, I'll talk to you till your ears turn blue. Okay? I'm fine with that. And I should be able to tell you how to get to God. There's a bunch of different ways to tell people. You don't have to memorize it. I'm getting old. I can't memorize anything. Okay? I got a phone that has all my meetings in it, all the contacts. I even put pictures next to your name now. Like, who is this? Oh, it's Jim Fetters. I know who he is because I got that picture there. So that's fine if you can't memorize that. That's fine that you're not a Bible scholar. You don't have to be. God just said we have to tell. So Dennis is going to come up and we're going to sing. I'm going to be up front. If you'd like to know more about God, I'd be glad to share with you. Can have somebody else share with you. If you'd like to come up here and pray, get your heart right and get that excitement. If you're missing that excitement, come up here and pray about it. Or pray right where you are, but ask God to give you that excitement again to share. Because we are commissioned to do that, all of us.